Well, you're trying to log on to the record. Maybe you've been successful, because this is it. I'm Marcy Silman.
I'm Steve Scher. There's an important birthday this week. The World Wide Web turns 25.
What a baby. On March 12, 1989, Sir Tim Berners-Lee drafted the proposal for what would become the World Wide Web, and his idea changed our world dramatically. And we're going to be talking about those changes all this week on the program.
To begin, we wanted to make a few useful distinctions. Sir Tim Berners-Lee didn't invent the network of computers we call the Internet. He invented the World Wide Web, the user-friendly interface laid on top of the Internet. Yes, kids, it's true. Even before there were URLs and hyperlinks, it was possible to use the Internet. For more on that, we're joined by Janet Abate. Janet was a computer programmer at MIT back in the 1980s. She was an early Internet adopter. These days, she's associate professor at Virginia Tech and the author of Inventing the Internet. Professor Abate, thanks for talking to us.
Good to be with you.
Now, all this week, we're asking listeners to share their experiences using the World Wide Web and the Internet. What was your first experience with the Internet?
I discovered the Internet in college in the early 1980s, and the first thing I used was email. It seemed amazing that you could contact people far away. And you have to keep in mind, this was the dark ages before the breakup of the Bell system in 1982. So long-distance phone calls were still expensive. You didn't just call people up long distance to chat. So this made email especially intriguing as a free form of communication.
Now, to do that, you had to type in a bunch of commands to get that information sent from computer to computer, right?
Yes, it wasn't for the faint of heart. At that time, depending what network you and the other person were on, you might have to specify the exact path that your email would take by giving a whole list of every computer that the message would pass through as it went from node to node on the network. It would be sort of like if you were sending someone a letter and you had to specify every post office transit center that the mail truck was going to stop on its way across the country. It was incredibly arcane.
You know, you just explained something to me about why I had my own puzzlement when I was first trying to use the Internet back in 84 and 85. I was connected at the University of Washington. So I was supposed to be making a stop for each of those communication efforts, huh? Each node. That's why things just got lost, huh?
Exactly. They used to call it a bang path because the computer names were separated by exclamation points or bangs, and so they would have this whole list of bangs between you and where you hopefully wanted your mail to go.
I remember that. And not doing it right. What did you know about the history of the Internet at the time?
Well, at the time, I didn't know that much. I was working as a computer programmer at the time, again, in the mid-80s. I was at MIT Project Athena, which was building a distributed computing system for Unix machines. And that introduced me to client-server systems, which is a big part of how we use the web. So the client is the user on your PC, and the servers where the information is, where the websites actually are, and the web provides a seamless interaction between them. And in the mid-80s, we were just starting to build the infrastructure for this. So I was becoming aware of this, and I was aware of the Internet, and I knew it had been built by the Defense Department, and that really intrigued me because we were just using it to fool around, send email, play games. And so I wondered, you know, how did we get hold of this defense system and make it our playground? And so eventually when I went back to grad school, I decided I would make my dissertation on this and enter it into the history of the Internet.
How did we users get a hold of that and turn it into a playground?
Well, it was a pretty long path, but it was originally built, the first infrastructure was put in place in 1969, and the idea was for defense research contractors, computer scientists and other scientists, to be able to dial up to a specialized computer at another university that was maybe a supercomputer or a special graphics computer or something unusual that not every school would have, and they would be able to share them over this network. So they had this idea it was going to be basically a research tool. And that actually was not what happened. What happened was it became a social medium even from the very beginning. What actually was popular was email, and that's actually the killer app, as they say, that really made the Internet take off and kind of took everyone by surprise. You know, they thought they were building a giant scientific instrument, and really they were building a community builder and a communication tool.
And also, Professor Abate, news groups, right, which were like mailing lists or message boards where people would also reach out to different things. You liked science fiction, isn't that right?
Yes, news groups were kind of the another early social medium thing where it would distribute a kind of list of, it was more like a chat room almost than a news group. I mean, news, there wasn't a lot of news there. There was a lot of opinion. But one of the most popular early ones was this thing called Science Fiction Lovers that I used to read, which gives you an idea of the sort of non-defense-oriented stuff that was going on.
You know, tell me, how did you... No, go ahead.
Go ahead. I was just going to say there was a lot of overlap between science fiction and computer science at the time, and I think there was a lot of cross-inspiration going on.
So how did you feel when you had your first experience with the World Wide Web, this overlay that made everything a lot more smooth?
Well, I remember the first time someone showed me the web in the early 1990s, and one thing that amazed me was the graphics, because back then most of the internet content was text only. Graphics were just kind of coming in the mid-80s for personal computers, but the machines on the internet tended not to have graphical interfaces. So that's one thing that stood out. I remember something called the Web Super Collider, which was kind of a joke based on the superconducting super collider from that same era. And you would run this program, and it would gather content from two or three random websites and jumble it together on the page. So you might have an astronomy photo from NASA side by side with some random song lyrics.
Oh, I remember some of that. All right.
It kind of illustrates the idea of the web as spectacle, as entertainment, and that was a new thing for the internet.
Janet Abate is associate professor at Virginia Tech. I appreciate you talking to us.
It was my pleasure. Thanks.
This is The Record.
We just heard Janet Abate talk about the popular news group SF Lovers for science fiction fans. Did you use that group too? We're curious about how you did use the internet in the olden days when we were younger, before the World Wide Web. Call and tell your story, 206-221-3663. Here's what we heard from Roberta.
I just purchased a little $75 Mac SE from Boeing Surplus back in the early 90s. And I had an internet account with Seattle Community Network, scn.org, and dial-up. And it was just so exciting to hear all those beeps and squeaks and howls when the internet was connecting, and realize with this little thrill sitting down in my basement apartment that I was connected to the world.
Well, what about you? Give us a call with your story, 206-221-3663. With Steve Scher, I'm Marcy Silman, and you're tuned to The Record.
Thank you.